This is David Peach with the Learn Signs Podcast, and you're listening to the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements.
Today on episode number 331 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, we're going to talk about why competition should never stop you from starting a podcast. We're going to talk a little behind the scenes of the Podcasters Roundtable with my buddy Ray Ortega. We're going to talk about how to get rid of those annoying mouth noises. We've got a great plug-in for those who transcribe their podcasts. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so very much. I realize this time of year around Thanksgiving, wow, we are all busy, and you're taking time out of your day to come listen to little old me talk about podcasting. If you're new to the show, this is the original podcast about podcasting, and we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to recording to promoting to producing, all points in between, as I help you avoid the common podcasting pitfalls. Because again, you're busy. Who's got time to record your podcast twice or three times or four times and things like that? Let's do it right the first time, shall we? And if you're looking to start a podcast, the website to start a podcast is theschoolofpodcasting.com. We've got step-by-step tutorials. We've got resources for music and voiceovers and everything else you need, graphics. Just go to one place. Forget all those Google searches where you keep coming up with all the material that's outdated. Just go to schoolofpodcasting.com. Now, I would love to have you involved in this conversation. All right, my email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments, 888-563-3228. You can leave a button by clicking on this voicemail button on the left-hand side of the screen. You can leave a comment just like Jody did on our website, which of course is schoolofpodcasting.com. And I realize I'm kind of speaking fast at this point because I'm excited. Number one, we have a great show today. And number two, you can just go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/331 for anything I mentioned today. But I got to tell you, this is a comment that I was like, I've always wondered this, and I'm so just blessed that Judy from farmnwife.com, that's farmnwife.com, farmnwife.com, yeehaw, farming. Judy, oh, I immediately went over to her website and found her contact page and said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's the comment. Because last week's show was about the stats that Todd Cochran from Blueberry had put out. And as I recorded it, I saw in the player where Daniel J. Lewis of the Audacity to Podcast, who, quote, is my, quote, competition. We'll talk about that in a second here. And he had already recorded I believe it was something like 30 million things you can learn from the podcast awards or something like that. And so I saw that he was already talking about it, and I thought, should I, you know, because I was going to do something with Rob once from Libsyn, and I saw where Ray Ortega, who's on the show today, had something about it. And I've got to lose that mentality, because literally they're like, there's another new one today that came out about starting a podcast. And so there are more, yet another podcast about podcasting. And there is a thought that, right there, if I wanted to go negative with this, I could go, somebody else is inviting, you know, the podcasting space, right? And they're going to try to steal or you know, somebody might like them better, right? There's all sorts of really weird, kind of insecure things. And that's just not the way to think about it. And I thought about this. And people that have had long careers in music, and I thought about this, the late Whitney Houston used to do duets with younger singers on occasion, but probably the one that's had a really long career, and I'm not a fan of her music, I'm really not a fan of her, period, but she did do this and it's worked, is Madonna. And I remember when she did a duet with Justin Timberlake when he was like fresh out of NSYNC. And I know she's done a bunch of duets with rappers and such. I'm, again, not a fan of her music, but I know I've heard of this strategy from the Madonna camp. And so the reason for that is that younger audience, that new audience, that, for lack of a better phrase, different audience, is introduced to her music and her back catalog. And she never looked at it like, well, what if Justin Timberlake's audience likes him better than me? Which I do, by the way. And, you know, she didn't look at it that way. She was like, look, this is what I do. I want to introduce people to me. And Madonna, if nobody else has said this, Madonna has said, look, you're either going to like me or you're going to hate me, but I'm going to be me. I got to be me, right? And that's kind of the way I am. I mean, I'm kind of goofy. I like to have fun. I've always, when I talk about, I'm a teacher, I'm a corporate trainer, and I've always described myself as edutainment. I try to have fun. But here, Judy came in with this comment, and let me just read this to you. And this is from show 330. So if you want to get the details here, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/330, because I'm going to, not that she was, you know, mean here, but she just was voicing her opinion. She says, Dave, you mentioned in this podcast about talking on the same topics as other podcasters. Because again, I almost didn't do that episode where I talked about the stats. Thank you for continuing on to cover these topics, because I don't listen to this other podcast that I just mentioned a few minutes ago. His voice and humor apparently is not her cup of tea. Although I am sure he's very intelligent on his niche, I choose not to subscribe. You have a different style and a take on things, which is very vocally animated. I'm going to take that as spastic. Dave, you're vocally spastic. And this keeps it interesting. However, this other podcaster goes over too many intricate details and loses her attention. So I wanted to say that I appreciate that you tell us just what we need to know without going over our heads. Thanks. And again, this is Judy from Farm and Wife, farmandwife.com. She's actually got a cool website, shows you how to build a website and a blog, things like that. And I think Judy needs a podcast, in my opinion. But, you know, that's me. So, Judy, thank you so much for that. And I thought about this. If you think about the news every night, right, we just had our elections here in the U.S., and I'm sure whatever it was, January 7th, the day after the elections, is that when it was? Was it the 6th? Whatever it was. I'm sure every single news station was reporting that Barack Obama was reelected to the presidency of the United States of America. Everybody was reporting that. I hope that was the top story and not the fact that one of the Kardashian sisters is probably going to get a divorce or something like that, right? So how do you determine who you listen to? Now, this sounds weird. I don't watch TV. I gave up on it many, many moons ago. But I remember growing up, there was Dan Rather. There was Peter Jennings. There was Ted Koppel. There was all these different news people. Now, when I watched news in the morning there for a while, you know, it's hilarious because I know here locally in Cleveland, the Fox News channel basically just goes to like the Victoria's Secret reject squad and says, why don't you just come on and do the news and read the weather and be sure to wear something low cut. It's amazing. And I'm like, really? And then they don't get me going. See, this is why I don't watch the news. But there are different styles and different things that will entice certain people to watch certain channels. And so maybe, you know, Joe Walter Cronkite kind of guy was doing the news, and that's the news for today. And I have no idea if that sounds like Walter Cronkite. That's how I think Walter Cronkite would sound. I've only seen his clip where he basically announces that President Kennedy was dead. But he was considered one of the most trusted people in America because, here we go again, he was considered an expert. He was considered trusted. Why? Because he came into your living room every night, much like I'm coming into your earbuds right now. So I remember, what was her name? Mary Hart used to, everybody would tune into, what was it? Na, 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 na. Everybody's just screaming at their dashboards right now. Entertainment Tonight. Her and John Tesh, who had a giant forehead. And everybody was like, ooh, Mary Hart's legs. Tune in and look at Mary's legs. And I'm like, really? Is that really? Seriously? My point. Yes, Dave, please get to that. We all deliver the same news. We all have different deliveries. We have different tones of voice. I mean, I could be talking like this right now. Hey, welcome to the School of Podcasting, learning announcement. And I don't think you'd be listening right now. right? If I delivered, if Elmo was a podcaster, oh, I can't do, wow, I can't do Elmo. My Elmo voice is gone. But anyway, you get the point. So with that said, I know you're going to say, oh, there's already a podcast about my subject. Oh, and when you hear your voice the first time, can I tell you something? I am like Nostradamus on this. You're going to hate your voice. You're going to hate your, you're just going to hate it. And so what, you, thank you. You can high five me later. You're going to say, Dave, I listen to my voice. I hate it. Yeah, you do. It just is. And then you're going to go, I wonder if anybody would listen to me. Yeah, they would. Because there are people that probably you, here's my thought right now. You're probably a little goofy. You probably like to have a little bit of fun. And my thought is you're probably a little bit like me because I'm probably a lot like you. We like to have a little fun. We like to keep it loose. We like to get to the point. And so with that, I'm going to end that point. I think I've made that point enough. That number one, don't assume, because I always assumed that everybody was listening to all the podcasts about podcasting. Well, here's a novel thought, Dave. Maybe not everybody is quite so passionate about podcasting as you are. Sure, literally, like, I don't know, 70% of the podcasts I listen to are about podcasting. That might not be the case for everybody, right? So don't let that stop you. And Judy, thank you so much from farmwife.com. All right, next up, we got a couple quick tips here that are coming up. Let's do the plug-in one first. I want to thank David Peach from LearnScience.com. This is obviously a video podcast as it helps people learn how to sign language. Because it's kind of hard to... Here, I'm going to do some sign language for you right now. This is how you do house. And this one over... Yeah, that just wouldn't work. There are some things that lend themselves to video. And David does a great job over at LearnScience.com. So thanks for kicking off the show. And Dave sent in this tip. And I said, wow, this is really cool. Because we've talked about transcribing your podcasts in the past. And I just realized I never followed up on that. And we will do that in a future podcast today because we've got a lot of material today. But here is a tip from Dave on if you're going to transcribe your podcast, if you don't want it to, you know, be this monstrous kind of blog post, how you can kind of shorten it up without losing your Google juice. So Dave, take it away.
Hello, this is David Peach from the LearnScience.com video podcast. A few weeks ago, you and I exchanged emails talking about how to include the text or the transcript of your podcast into your podcast show notes. So like the blog post that talks about the podcast episode. And we talked about, you know, the best way to do this. How should we do that? I think I found a good solution, and it is to use what is called a spoiler plugin, which is a plugin in WordPress, and there's several of them. The one I'm using is called WP Spoiler. It has not been developed in 4 years, but it seems to be working fine on mine, and it's very simple to use. What it does is in your blog post, it will hide the text of the spoiler so that when, if you're talking about something that you want your users, they can choose to look at the text or not, so that they don't pick up a spoiler that they didn't want to see if you're talking about some kind of current event or TV show. And then you can put your transcript right in there. So then it's in the blog post, but it's hidden from the user so they don't get this 3-page blog post, yet Google sees that to index it. And then, of course, your users can go back and read the transcript if they want. So it helps them to be able to search on your site and find a particular episode that mentioned something. So all of that would be indexed in your site search. Also, Google would index it, yet it doesn't take up several pages of screen to be able to include that for your users. So I thought that might help. This is David from the LearnScience.com video podcast where I teach how to learn American Sign Language.
Thank you so much, Dave. I definitely checked that out, and it's really, really cool. It's something that I'm like, this is something I'll be talking about on Weekly Web Tools. That's another podcast I do over at weeklywebtools.com. And speaking of that, next week I will be interviewing Marcus Couch of WordPressA2Z.com, about search engine optimization. And you're like, what does that have to do with podcasting? It has to do with how can you be found more in Google, which will bring you more traffic, which in theory will bring you more listeners, which will again bring you more friends, family, and people that think just like you do. So that's coming up in a future episode. So if you haven't subscribed to the podcast and don't want to miss another episode, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes and subscribe today. The other tip I wanted to do is I had somebody email me, and I get this one a lot, about mouth noises. You know, the everybody that hates those just went, right? What is that? And so there are a couple tips, and I thought, you know what? If anybody's going to know about this, it's going to be a voiceover guy. And when I think voiceover, I think music radio creative. I think Rich Palmer. I think a bunch of different people. But I reached out to Mike Russell and said, Mike, what's the secret to losing the mouth noises? And here is Mike's response.
Hello, Dave. It's Mike Russell from Music Radio Creative. How do you get rid of those annoying mouth noises? Well, a few tips for you. First of all, do stay hydrated. So make sure you're drinking lots of water and avoid the fizzy pop. Any soda drink, not a good idea before you're about to record, as you'll get lots of clicks and pops and horrible other noises. Also, a tip I've heard shared many times amongst my voiceover friends, eat a green apple. Not the red ones, the green apples, yeah. Golden Delicious, Granny Smith, that kind of stuff really helps to cleanse your throat and prepare you for recording. And if you want to avoid mic popping, the unnecessary over-exaggeration on P's and B's, then make sure you're speaking through a microphone pop shield, and also try and angle yourself so you're speaking just slightly off mic and not directly into the microphone. This is especially relevant if you're speaking into a condenser microphone, because they tend to pop quite a bit. Those are my tips. Hope they help, Dave. Love the podcast. It's Mike Russell from musicradiocreative.com.
There you go. Thank you, Michael. Now I'm very hungry for an apple. Hey, I want to let you know, Music Radio Creative does have an affiliate program. If you need a promo, just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/musicradiocreative, and that'll take you over to their website, and you can get a promo from Mike, and it'll smell like Granny Smith. It's a new thing. It's a scratch and sniff kind of promo. It's awesome. All right, next up, I have my interview with Ray Ortega. A couple things I want to mention about this. You all know Ray. If not, you'll hear me introduce him shortly. But the thing is, we're talking about something that's very visual. And you might also say, Dave, what does this have to do with podcasting? And the reason I'm talking about this is basically I had a member of the School of Podcasting say, hey, I see people are starting to use these. How should I use this? Should I use this as a podcasting tool? And what it is, it's a way for you to connect with family. And can we kind of just for a second put down the whole podcasting thing for a second in the business thing? This is a great way to connect with family, as it is Thanksgiving. Hopefully you're thankful for your family. And if you're like me, I got family in Texas and Louisiana and all sorts of places in South Carolina. It's a great way to get online. If you've got a camera and a microphone, you can actually connect with people up to 10 people at a time. And so this person said, hey, how do you take that video? How do you set it up? How are you doing it? And then how do I get the audio out of it? And that's actually something that I talked to Ray about. Now, Ray does the Podcasters Roundtable. You can find that at podcastersroundtable.com. And I reached out to Ray and said, hey, how are you doing that? And can you give me some tips? Now, I realize we're talking again about something that's very visual. So I kind of listened through just so we can get the main concept. And what I ended up doing was I made a quick video that you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/331. And you can see where I show you how to set it up, because there are some confusing points. And if you actually go to anybody's Hangout, you will see things like, I don't know, I can't see the video now. Wait, there's no place to log in. Where do I log in at? I didn't get an invitation. There are all these things that come up, and I dug into this after speaking with Ray, and I kind of explained these in the video, because there are three pieces of that. So with that, I'll talk about that maybe a little bit at the end of the interview, but here's my interview with Ray Ortega, a little behind the scenes on Google Hangouts, Google Hangouts On Air, and the Podcasters Roundtable. All right. Well, joining me from multiple podcasts about podcasting, he's you've got the Podcaster Studio, then you've got Podcast Quick Tips, and now you just launched the Podcasters Roundtable, which is what we're going to dig into here a little bit. It's Ray Ortega. Ray, thanks for coming on the show.
Dave, thanks for having me as always.
Always great to have you back. And tell us a little bit about the Podcasters Roundtable. We're up to episode 4. What inspired it? What is it? Give us the rundown.
Let's see. So I guess let's start off with what it is, right? So it's a roundtable of podcasters.
All right.
real clever in my naming system there. But, I bring on yourself and other podcasters, try to get in at least one new podcaster to each roundtable to really just discuss the sort of whys of podcasting, right? I have a show about the how-tos, which is the Podcaster Studio and Podcast Quick Tips. And you have the School of Podcasting. We've got Daniel with the Audacity to Podcast. There's all these podcasts about how to podcast. So it's covered, and it's covered really well, and we each do something a little different. And so if you're out there listening to one show, hopefully you're listening to all of them. I listen to most of them myself because that's my interest. But I want to start Podcasters Roundtable as a place to just sort of get away from the how-tos. Of course, there's how-tos in there because we can't avoid it. But I want to just have topics that we discuss, maybe even debate, maybe even hopefully get a little bit of, argument going, right? So that people listening in can decide, not have them be told what is the right thing to do, but listen to different opinions from everyone who produces podcasts. And then you walk away with something for your own show and take what you want and apply it to your own show. So I try to get a little bit of, debate going. I want differing opinions. And that's really what we're doing. We're just bringing up topics about, should you audio process? Do you do processing on your audio? Do you need to? You've been on a couple where I think the first one we talked about control of your podcast, right? So there's always this heated debate on, should I use Feedburner? Should I not? And we covered that. So I'm trying to do that with the show. And the inspiration came from really the technology. And that was something that Google sort of introduced, over a year ago. And I said, that's really cool tech. And I really built a show around sort of the platform.
Awesome. And of course, that technology is Google Hangouts. And then what is the difference between, because that's it's something I've the only time I've ever used a Google Hangout is when I'm on your show.
Right.
I've kind of been playing with it a little bit, but there's a Google Hangout, and then there's a Google Hangout. What is it called? It's online, right?
Google Hangouts was the first one. That is where you just have people, basically anyone can come in, up to 10 people, and essentially hang out, just what it says, right, on webcam, okay? And then they launched Google Hangouts on Air.
On Air, yes.
Okay, so it's a little confusing because one of the challenges in the beginning of this show, when it first started, was that people thought it was just a Google Hangout. So they thought when they got an invite to the show that they were going to be participating in the actual Hangout, as opposed to just watching. So that's the real difference. So a Google Hangout, again, like I said, people can just pop in the room and participate right there on cam. And really, you're just having a loose conversation hanging out. But on Air is a live streaming platform. So, in the case of, the last episode, I had you on and a couple other podcasters. And that is where I invited specifically up to 10 people. Usually, I keep it to about 4 or 5. And those are the only people that will be on the Hangout on Air. And the difference is that. So it's just who you invite to be on. And the other difference is you can broadcast live to an infinite amount of people. So before, on a regular Google Hangout, only the 10 people participating could see and interact with the Hangout. Now on Air, it's basically a Ustream, right? Google Plus turned themselves into a Ustream, but you can have more people on at once, up to 10. So that is kind of the major differences between a Google Hangout on Air and a regular Google Hangout. And I know it's caused confusion. I feel really bad because people get excited because they get an invite. They show up and they're like, wait, why can't I get into this thing? So I blame it partly on the naming, but it's also just because it's new.
Right. Now, is there a difference? Because what's the new trick? We turn our audio onto we did it last time and it made our audio sound a whole lot better.
Right. So Google Hangout on Air, when it launched, had really compressed audio, and I don't know what it was, 64, 32, whatever. It just didn't sound good, as you allude to right there. And then they came out with, you know, they always roll out new features, and hopefully this stays successful and they keep rolling out more. So the latest thing to come out that I know of was studio mode.
Yes.
And that's what made our voice a lot better. So they rolled it out as a feature for musicians. And, you know, because musicians obviously want to be doing a live stream, sort of a live concert, and they need better audio. Well, of course, that's right up our alley as podcasters. We want the better audio too. It's not focused on us, but we certainly use it. So not all accounts are enabled for it, but fortunately, I'm hosting the Podcasters Roundtable, and I had it enabled on my account. And so we were each able to click in to this studio mode, and it's literally just in the microphone options when you're in the Hangout. And yeah, so much better. Sounds great.
Now, how do you what we're here for is I wanted to dig in behind the scenes of what you're doing to use this platform now to produce both an audio and a video podcast. And so first of all, I guess we should say, so you've sent out an invitation, and that goes out to a bunch of people. How do you go about getting the kind of invite to be actually participating in the show?
So when I come up with a topic, I decide which people in the community are likely to have something to say about that topic. So, you know, it's just an example. If I was going to talk about podcasting about podcasts, I'd have myself on and you and Daniel from the Audacity Podcast and maybe a couple other podcasters. And I would send out the invite to you. I would set up, so you have to go to the event page. So it's a bit, it gets a little weird, but in your Google Plus page, there is an event page and you just set up an event for, you know, for a particular Hangout on air that will be live stream at a later date. And then I invite it gets a little weird. You invite everyone, well, depending on who's in your circles. And if you're in Google Plus, you understand what this is. It's just publishing either to your circles, to the public, or to specific people. And so you invite everyone. It sends out sort of this invitation. It says, hey, there's going to be this live stream going on at this time. And basically, you can RSVP, and then they'll get a notice when the live stream is going to start. You'll get reminders. And when it actually starts, it'll say, hey, so when, you know, Podcasters Roundtable is starting now. But beyond that, I'll send a personal invite to you and whoever else is on the panel so that they can come in. Now, we've had some issues with that. I know getting you in a couple times has been tricky. And I think, you know, partly it has to do with how much you actually operate in the Google Plus, you know, on the platform itself. And so really, you know, I like it myself. I'm not there a lot. And like you alluded to, that the fact that you were only on it for the only time you didn't hang out was with me.
Yeah.
So, you know, depending on how you have it set up, you might get an email invitation, but I can literally just copy paste a link to you and that'll get you into the Hangout on air. So that's a bit technical and might be confusing. The point is you can send an invitation to the people who need to get into into the Hangout on air. And you can also send a mass invitation to your potential audience.
Got it. Now, is there any limit to how long those can be? Now, we've kind of been cutting it at an hour, but if we wanted to go longer than that, is there any kind of limit to that? Do you know?
As far as I know, there's no limits. I haven't heard of any limits, and I haven't seen people run into it. It's possible, but I haven't heard. You know, things like Ustream, you got Todd Cochran, who does a 24-hour podcast once a year, and he can just roll through 24 hours and doesn't get cut off. So, you know, as far as I know, it's similar and you can just keep going. So, you know, maybe I should just turn on the camera and let it run all night. There'd be two interesting things would happen. Maybe I'd see some interesting things going on in my house when I'm not awake. I don't know what those would be. Maybe the baby gets up and you know, right, creates murals on the wall. That's how that all the stuff gets so messy. But, you know, I'd also maybe find the limit. So maybe that's a good idea.
Now, so the great thing about it is once that's over, Google automatically starts getting it ready for YouTube. How do you actually, because you're actually taking that now and making it an audio podcast, how does that whole aspect come about? How do you end up with an MP3?
So one of the cool things about the Hangouts on air is that it does just that. It automatically, when you stop the broadcast, the live stream part, it then will tell you, hey, we're sending this to YouTube. And it's whatever your connected YouTube account is, Google account. And so it automatically does that. So you don't really have a choice. You can delete it afterwards if you don't want it there, but it's going to do that for you. And it's kind of nice because, you know, it takes more of the possibilities for failure out of the system, and it's just there. And so once it's on YouTube and it's done processing, what's cool is you can actually get access to the MP4 that YouTube has created. And I'm not sure that in the past you could always have access to the MP4s. Maybe you could, maybe you couldn't, but you do get access to download the MP4 file, which is a video file. And I've done a couple different things. I've stripped the audio out of that MP4, so it's fairly simple. You can bring it into, well, you can open it with something as simple as QuickTime Player, or, you know, if you're on a Mac, if you're on Windows, open it with any kind of, I imagine, video editing software, or there's a great piece of software called MPEG Stream Clip. I'm not sure. I think that's a dual OS. I think it's Windows and Mac and PC, but there's something for you out there, and you can literally just export the audio out of that. You know, and now with the studio mode, it's not so bad. You know, I've also tried just recording through a whole mixture of, you know, mixers and recorders and all kinds of things. Because I'm a podcaster, I have the tools to record it here in studio. So I've done it both ways. I've recorded it right here in studio. I've also just stripped the audio out of the video file. And it's really cool because I think I've mentioned that this sort of is a sort, it sounds complex, and maybe I'm not doing the best job of explaining it, or maybe I'm just going on too much, but it is easier than it sounds. I mean, it's something that gets you, if you're an audio only podcaster and you want to dip your foot into video podcasting, it easily gets you into video podcasting because you've got this platform, Google Plus. You literally just kind of log in almost like a Skype chat and hit record, and it starts recording, and it sends it to YouTube, and you can have video switchers and lower thirds, you know, as complex as you want to get, or as complex as they allow you to get right now through their various apps and plugins. But it's a low threshold to get into video podcasting. And at the same time, you're getting into live streaming. So it can get you into all these things fairly easily compared to what it would normally take to, you know, sort of record a video podcast or live stream it or do all those things at once.
Now, the other thing that you're doing as the host of the Hangout is you have the ability to control who's on camera, because by default, whoever, you know, burps into the microphone, they get the camera to switch to them. How hard is that to do?
You all log into the Google Plus Hangout on Air, and there is it's native to the Hangout, but there's also like this camera director plugin. So there's a few plugins you can download. Once you get in the system, you'll see that. And basically what the functionality of Google Plus Hangouts, as well as this camera director thing, allows you to simply click on whichever, you know, window you want. So I guess to visualize it, you've got the main big window where whoever's on screen is talking, and then underneath it you have everyone else who's participating in little square boxes lined up underneath, kind of like a firing line, but a lot kinder. And as the person who's hosting it, you can simply take your mouse and click on whichever box you want, whichever person you want, and they come up into the main screen. As well, you can let it go to auto. I mean, it will detect who's talking. So whoever's talking on the microphone, it'll automatically put that person basically on stage, so to speak. It'll put them in the main window.
If we kind of go back a second here, so you basically, you send out an invite. If I'm brand new to this and I'm hosting a Hangout, I'm going to want to install probably the director plugin so I can manage who's talking. And if you want to play with lower thirds, and that just basically means you can put your name at the bottom of the screen. You record it. It automatically goes to YouTube. Hopefully, you can download the MP4, right? Is that what you said it was, MP4?
MP4, mm-hmm.
And from there, you can throw it into some sort of software and strip the audio. And at that point, you've got a YouTube video, and you've got your audio that you can send out for those people that just want to listen. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, I created an audio-only feed so that people could subscribe via iTunes. Now, you could turn this into a video podcast as well, but a little bit of confusion here, probably not on your part, but a lot of people probably think that they can turn a YouTube video into a podcast, which you can't do because YouTube's not going to give you the URL that you would need right. to put into the feed for that MP4. So that's one of the things about downloading the MP4, which is really nice because you can download it and then put it on to either a host you pay for or maybe, I'm not sure if it would still work on blip.tv. They've changed things over there. But if you're fortunate enough to find a free host, you could do that and create a feed that way and get yourself a podcast. But you can't just use YouTube as a host, not for a podcast in that, you know, has an RSS feed and you submit that to iTunes and other podcatchers. But so it can get very expensive to host video.
Absolutely.
And we're doing hour-long sessions, and I don't have that kind of space on my Libsyn account. So the audio only, you know, the video is fun. If you're there to participate live, it's very cool. And you can always watch the archive. You can easily embed the video on your site. And, of course, people can always watch on the Google Plus page or YouTube. So the video, I don't feel like really needs to be in a feed necessarily. And especially with mobile these days, anyone can go to your website on their smartphone and you hit the HTML5 friendly player and there you go. But the audio only feed, people were asking, hey, people inevitably will ask, is there an audio, you know, they couldn't make it or something. Is there, can I get this in the archive? It's, oh, sure. I'll make an audio only feed. You know, it's a little crude to just strip the audio out, but it's there, right? So the key is actually delivering the content, right? Making it so that everyone can get it. And so that's why I do that. So just to clear up, yeah, you can take out the audio and put an RSS feed if you like, or you can just live everything right in sort of the Google Plus, YouTube sort of platform there.
Well, what's coming up? Any future plans that topics that you might be coming up on the Podcasters Roundtable?
Yeah, so you know, with the launch of the show, or if you follow any of my shows, having a baby in the last year means that the episodes come out quite sporadically now, and I really just wanted to get this started. Unfortunately, I have, but it's been a couple weeks since the last one. But I just sent out a question today. So really, a lot of these come from during my day. I'm thinking about something. I'm like, oh, you know what? I wonder if, and then I'll send a question out to Twitter, say. So at Podcast Helper is kind of a fun feed to follow on Twitter if you're into that. Plus, you can get your answers, your questions about podcasting answered. But, you know, I tossed out a question, was it just today, I think, about... you know, I was watching a broadcast, an awesome site called Creative Live. I don't know if you know about it, but you can get, if you sit in front of your computer, you can get a lot of free sort of workshops, and it's really cool. So creativelive.com, check that out if you're a creative and you want to learn more. But anyways, I was watching one, and she kind of tossed to her assistant, and she said, really quickly, introduce yourself and sort of give where people can find you. And I was thinking, you know, if you had, whether you're on an elevator or in a situation where someone tosses you a mic, if you had just one address to send people to, what would you say? Your website, Twitter, your Facebook? And it seems fairly obvious. And everyone answered website because that was my most obvious answer as well. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about it. I was like, well, A, it depends on the audience, right? So if you imagine you're on stage and you can only give out one sort of URL. You're on stage, there's 500 people in the audience. You can see 95% of them are sitting right there on their smartphone. So if I was to give out my Twitter, you know, most people are on Twitter these days, they're more likely to like go to Twitter and just follow me right there. You know, the obvious one seems like, hey, give out your website and then have all your links there. But most times people won't end up going to your website. They won't remember your website. And right. even if they go, what's the chance they're actually going to click on a sort of follow button or Facebook button? Or, you know, I kind of see it as they come to your website, they look at it, and then you lose them forever. But if you get them to follow you on Twitter in this case, then you have this constant contact with them. Then you can tell them your website's over there. So anyways, this is what happens to me during the day. I think of these things.
There you
and
go.
I toss out a question and I'm like, you know what, that, and I get the answers. And if the answers are interesting, I'm like, this might make a good topic. So long story short, they just come out of thin air. And I think we're going to do that topic about sort of, you know, I try to develop it more. And this is going to be sort of the, based on that question, if you had that one chance to give someone one thing, what would you? But we all know promotion's hard. We have a limited amount of time. You know, things are, you know, Twitter is a fast-moving river, right? So it goes by fast. So you know, I want to just kind of look at what podcasters can do to help promote their show and, you know, grow their audience. And I think we might tackle that one on the next Podcasters Roundtable.
Very cool. Well, go ahead and tell everybody where they can find all your fun, lovely stuff.
Well, obviously, we're talking about Podcasters Roundtable. So podcastersroundtable.com. And of course, there's the podcasterstudio.com, which is the main site. You can find links to everything from there, but either one of those. And of course, twitter.com/podcasthelper. I'm a big Twitter guy, but if you're not, then check out those other links.
There you go. Well, Ray, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. I deeply appreciate the behind the scenes.
Hey, it's awesome. I love talking about this stuff. Obviously, you can tell from my long-winded answers, so always enjoy it.
All right, and there you have my conversation with Ray Ortega from podcastersroundtable.com. You can also find him at thepodcastersstudio.com. Super great guy. And wanted to let you know, there are some weird things about having a Google Hangout. Like, for instance, if you mute somebody, they, A, don't know they've been muted, and B, are the only people that can unmute themselves. So if you mute somebody and then later want them to talk, you have to say, oh yeah, hey, Ray, unmute yourself. Because they have no idea that you muted them. Because maybe the cat was screaming in the background or something like that. You decided to mute them. So there are some weird, quirky things. There's no reason to use this if you're a solo podcaster. To me, the benefit is you can get multiple people online. And you can let people watch you, which is kind of fun. But for me, I don't look at this and go, oh, well, I'm dumping my microphone, because you still need a good microphone. This is just something that I see more and more people have asked me about. Hey, how do I do this? And so, as always, I was like, all right, let me find out how to do it. Thanks to Ray for sharing his insights into it. I dug a little deeper, got some answers, and I'm bringing them to you. So if you're new to podcasting, I don't know this would be the place to start. It's kind of handy because at first, again, you don't have an audience. But here with the Podcasters Roundtable, we're all bringing in our own audience into that. So that's kind of cool. But it is interesting. It's a cool tool, and it definitely has some uses. Not for everybody, but it's there, and it is a little tricky. So like I said, it is a very visual thing. If you go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/331, I've got a tutorial that will show you how to set this up, because it's really kind of goofy in the fact that you invite people to the event, and that's to watch. Then you invite people to the hangout, that's to participate. Not that watchers aren't participants, but they are not actually, quote, in the show. And that's a little confusing, and so that video will point that out over at schoolofpodcasting.com/331. And that is going to do it for this episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. What did we learn today? Well, we learned that A, you should never let competition stop you from starting a podcast. We learned about Google Hangouts and how you can have a Google Hangout on air and go live, and how they are a little quirky in getting them set up. We talked about how to get rid of mouth noises, so I'm going to go buy stock in Granny Smith apples. And we talked about a great plugin to help you if you are having really long blog posts and you want to kind of shorten them up. Thanks again to David Peach from LearnScience.com. Thanks to Mike Russell from MusicRadioCreative.com. Thanks so much for that, for your tips on that. Thanks to Ray Ortega from the Podcaster Studio and PodcastersRoundtable.com. And thank you to Judy from FarmWife.com. And thanks to you for taking the time out of your busy day to listen to little old me. Now, if you're ready to start a podcast, especially if you don't even have a website, wow, go out to schoolofpodcasting.com, click on the link for Quick Start, because there's a great deal where you spend like almost no money and end up with a podcast. If you already have a website, maybe you're a business, maybe you're a nonprofit, maybe you're somebody who just wants to reach the world, maybe you want to find friends, maybe you're tired of sitting home alone and you'd like to have a community of your own, it's time to start a podcast. And I can help you with that. Go out to schoolofpodcasting.com, click on the join button, and instantly be watching any of the step-by-step videos that will walk you through planning your podcast, recording your podcast, producing it, publishing it, all points in between, along with music and graphics and resources. It's all there. Everything you need to start a podcast you can find at theschoolofpodcasting.com. So thank you so much. Next week, we're going to be talking with Marcus Couch. And before I leave, if you are still listening, I do have a question for you. When I went to Blog World this year, I did get a fair amount of people that said, the podcast, I wish it was longer. And I've made it longer. Now my question is, are you still saying that? Because I basically added interviews to my tips and tricks and things like that. And I'm actually thinking, after hearing Todd's stats last week, of doing multiple shows of my original length, about 20 minutes a week. So that's my thought. So you'd still get the same amount of Dave, just in smaller doses. And it's a thought. So I would love your feedback. Again, 888-563-3228 is the phone number. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can use the voicemail button. You can use a comment. All points in between. If you go out to schoolofpodcasting.com and you see the live chat button in the bottom left-hand corner, that is me. Not the contact button in the bottom right-hand corner, but the kind of beige one. If you see that live chat, that's me. I had somebody come on and say, this isn't really Dave. And I go, yeah, seriously, it's me. And I love to talk to people. I wish I could give you a schedule, but that just kind of happens when it happens. So if you see that in the bottom left-hand corner, stop by, say hi. We'd love to hear from you. So thank you so much. Let me remind you, around this Thanksgiving time, I am deeply thankful for every single person that listens to this podcast, especially you. And I am, to a certain extent, living my dream. I mean, I'm a corporate trainer. I love that. But I'm also helping people be creative, reach the world, and further themselves, further their business, further their message, and helping them reach a global audience is just a huge amount of fun. And I meet a lot of great characters. And I'm very, very thankful for every one of you. And I deeply appreciate that. And I just urge you to live a life worth podcasting about. And I will see you next week with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Until then, class is dismissed. I will see you on the inside. God bless. Today on episode number 331 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, we're going to talk about Google Hangouts with my buddy Ray Ortega from the Podcasters Round Studio. The Round Studio. It's when you combine both of Ray's podcasts. Let's try that one again, shall we? Now I forget what episode. What was it again? 331. Okay, 331. All right. Take two.